This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20 in the ESV Bible. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but to my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, my name is Wallace Benn, and I'm a vice president of Church Society. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning to share God's word with you. Please would you turn with me to a really important chapter, and that's Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at the beginning of a real turning point in the gospel story, from verse 13 until verse 20. There are lots of questions around at the moment. When will there be a vaccine? When will I be able to hug somebody that I love and I miss seeing? When will we be able to get back to normal? Will we ever get back to normal? And so the questions go on. But this passage really is about an even more important question. In fact, the most important question that could be asked. Jesus asks it at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks it in two forms. First, as a general question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Verse 13. And then in a more specific way to the disciples, who do you say that I am? In other words, Jesus is saying, what do people make of me? He's asking the disciples, in the light of the experience they have of the crowds of people gathering around Jesus to listen to his teaching in the way that he taught like nobody else, and to see the amazing miracles that he did. He's asking disciples, what is it that people think about me? Who do people think that I am? The disciples answer that the response to Jesus is largely positive, apart from the opposition of the scribes and the Pharisees, that is, but largely positive. But people are saying in verse 14, some say, is John the Baptist come back again? Some others say, is Elijah, great prophet of the Old Testament, or Jeremiah likewise, or another one of the prophets come again? And then Jesus says, well, that's okay. I understand that that may be their reaction. But what do you think of me? Who do you think that I am? That's a very pointed question. And Jesus answers, or rather Peter answers the pointed question of Jesus in verse 16. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, the spokesman for the disciples so often, says that he and the others had come to see that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah, promised by God throughout the Old Testament, the promised coming King who would deliver his people. And when this King would come, God would be present among his people. Peter says on behalf of the disciples, we've come to see that you are the Messiah, the promised special one from God, who brings God's presence to us. And secondly, you're more than that. You're the Son of the living God. There's we acknowledge there is a special relationship between you, Jesus, and God the Father. You are the Son of the living God. And compared to all the false religions and false messiahs around, you are the Son of the living God, the one true God, in a unique relationship with God. Jesus reacts to what Peter says and says in verse 17, you're blessed. It's one of the other extra beatitudes of Jesus. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't discover this by your own reasoning or your own goodness or virtue, but actually God has revealed it to you. And what you're saying is true. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is saying to Peter, look, the name Peter means a stone or a rock. You're the rock man. And on this rock, this huge boulder, this Gibraltar of your confession, I will build my church. John Chrysostom, one of the greatest preachers of the early church, said that Jesus meant, when he said, on this rock I will build my church, that is, he said, on the faith of his confession. When people come to see who Jesus really is and acknowledge him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, the God-sent Messiah, it's a life-changing transformation. And it's something that builds the church. Because when people come to see who Jesus is, and we'll see later on, when they come to understand what he came to do for them and acknowledge that, they join the church of Jesus Christ. They become a disciple of Jesus, and so they build the church. And so it was Peter's confession of who Jesus was that was the very building block of the church. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. If you look on to chapter 18 and verse 18, you will see that wasn't just given to Peter as a gift, but to the other disciples as well. And Luke explains in Luke 24:47 that it's by the preaching of the gospel that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed and people are to come into a relationship with God. It is the declaring of the gospel and the response to that that either causes people to be saved are lost. Also in Matthew 18, that gift of binding or loosing through the declaration of the gospel is applied by Jesus to church disciplinary matters, where church leaders apply the teaching of the gospel and the word of God into a disciplinary situation. And if they're doing that faithfully, that decision stands. So, Peter is indeed is a significant player in the early church. He's the natural leader of the band. But it's his confession is the key thing. Notice where this confession by Peter takes place. It takes place in Caesarea Philippi. Philip the Tetrarch, the nominal ruler of that area of the country, had built a renamed and rebuilt part of what was called in the more ancient world Panias, and he renamed the town Caesarea Philippi to keep in with the emperor. He named it Caesarea and after himself Philippi. But it was a famous multi-faith worship center. It had had worship of Baal in previous generations. it had a temple to Pan, the pagan Greek god, and it had all sorts of multi-faith worship. Some 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee on the Mount of, just on the base of Mount Hermon, the largest mountain in the Holy Land, it was at this place that Peter made a significant confession of who Jesus was. And the significance of that was not lost on Peter ever. Later we read in Acts 4, verse 12, he says this, "There is salvation in no one else but the Lord Jesus, for there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved." You see, this confession of faith in a multi-faith situation, we're being taught this by the Lord Jesus. Whatever people think about me, or whatever other faiths may say or not, there is only one way to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus, his unique Son. Jesus elsewhere said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." The significance of this statement is that however much we respect other faiths, and we ought to, and fight for their rights, we ultimately want to say politely but clearly and faithfully that all other faiths are cul-de-sacs in terms of a relationship with God, a saving relationship with God. But the way to find a relationship with God is through his unique Son, who came to open the possibility of that relationship for us. It's not enough to think of Jesus as a good man. It's not enough to think of him as a great prophet like Islam thinks. It's not enough to think he was a very godly, saintly man who teaches us wonderful ethics. No, he is much more than that. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Peter's confession on behalf of himself and I think the other disciples was a turning point for him and for them. And so it should be for us. If Jesus was to stand here physically amongst us, as he does by his Spirit, and asks us the question, "Who do you say that I am?" What would be your response from your heart? The right answer to that question is life-changing. May God grant that we may join with Jesus, not only with Peter, but with the other disciples down the ages, and all of us acknowledge from our hearts who Jesus really is. He is the Messiah, the King of Kings. He is the Son of the living God.